a lady from the 50s. He goes, yeah, it looks great. He goes, it looks like you remind me of grandma.
Oh boy. Five.
And I gave him that face. Four.
Three.
Two.
You know, it's going in the episode. One.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing.
Come on, get happy. Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames, messieurs, bienvenue, welcome to the happy hour.
Welcome back, happy hour listeners. Holy shit. Happy Halloween-ish plus one as of today, as one does.
All Saints Day.
What?
Yes, it is.
And Sadie Hawkins Day.
Who's that?
Sadie Hawkins dance in your khaki pants. Get the fuck with it, Dave.
I don't give a shit about that. I'm not my fucking khakis, as according to Tyler Dresden of the fucking, you know, Fight Club. Chemical Brothers, please get with it in 1999 speak, please.
Team Fight Club. Sadie Hawkins is the day when it's Sadie Hawkins Day is the day where you can the women ask the boys that they wanted to go to the dance with to the dance. That's a Sadie Hawkins dance. That's
from
kind of like
when?
The tradition. Yeah, it's since like it's, probably it's the 50s, same States as Veronica, thing. Since Veronica's 90.
That's right.
Jesus Christ. All right.
I look like a grandma. I'm going to do this for the rest
apparently,
of
apparently, Veronica looks like grandma today. My name's David Ogier. I am at Glaucus123 on Twitter. Metal Dave on other social media. If you fucking care. Which is that's a reach. I'm joined as always by Beth.
Hello. Forgot my line.
Hello.
I'm at HIV or HRIT on Twitter and also Blue Sky. If you can find my Instagram, I think it's currently public. So if you can find it, you can follow me for now.
And Veronica.
Yeah. I'm at CHILE_pepper on Twitter, on Instagram, on Threads, and CHILE_pepper on the Blue Sky.
And we're the Happy Hour, the third most popular Habs podcast on the planet.
No, aren't we like number six?
Or six.
I don't know if that was like legitimate. I think it was just some random.
Are there even that many podcasts about the Habs?
Yes.
There's a lot.
We're really better than most of them.
We're the first.
Mostly because of our age and also how amazing we are.
We also have the most boobs.
We have way more boobs than any other Habs podcast on the planet. I can say that that's without true. Even looking up the stats.
Yep. We are never getting true. A guest again.
Oh, how many drunk episodes do they have too? Because I'm fucking hammered right now.
Oh.
The one that I did where I was absolutely hammered was the night that we made it to the final.
I don't think I've ever done a drunk episode.
Why? Oh, yeah. What's the point of a podcast? Am I even recording?
Oh my god.
I am recording. I am. I double checked. It's all good. We're the Happy Hour, at Happy Hour on Twitter, Happy Hour Pod on Instagram, which has not been updated, happyhour.com and youtube.com/happyhour. And I suggest, if you are a strictly audible person with the podcast, to please watch the YouTube right now. Because as I've said, I'm fucking hammered right now.
At least for this episode.
For this episode, I am, wow.
What were you drinking tonight?
Yeah, what were you drinking?
I started with a Von Trapp Pilsner at the Copper Crow in Albany, which was way overpriced. I felt I had better salmon at the Cheesecake Factory. Sorry, Copper Crow. Don't mean to really shit on your bed there. But frankly, fucking do better, honestly. Then we went to the Beer Garden, where I had a liter of Pilsner, a Hofbräu, I should say. And then we went to Lost and Found in the Warehouse District of Albany, where I had a...
Oh, I thought you froze.
Chatham. I had a Chatham Pilsner at that point. Oh. I'm a big Pilsner guy. Granted.
Dave likes His beard is like he likes hockey wives, blonde and leggy.
I mean, who can complain?
Is there another kind of hockey wife?
I like short brunettes.
Whatever, Beth, it's because you are a short brunette.
I am a short, but they have to be shorter than me.
Oh.
Jesus Christ. All right, so Toffoli.
He was like five people.
Like Toffoli and... And who else, actually,
he's
at that
so
point?
So small.
Tyler Toffoli.
So small. She's so small. She's like 3'2". It's ridiculous.
You just put her in your pocket. When you're late somewhere, you just like, cat, jump in. You run.
So the Habs have been exceeding expectations, I believe, comparatively like to the general consensus of the hockey mindset of the time.
Exceeds expectations.
I believe that the Habs, let's see, we recorded after the Blue Jackets Thursday. Game, right?
Yeah.
And that was a terse affair where the Habs won it. God damn it.
OT, right?
Motherfuckers. Sons of bitches. That was followed by a game against the Winnipeg Jets, which was also a terse affair because of one... man who hit, you know, fucking Jake Evans. Shifley.
Yeah.
That motherfucker he is.
We hate him. Yeah, like how, like, the whole game, the commentators were trying to say that there's a rivalry, and it's like, no, there's not a rivalry.
No, it's not a rivalry. No, it is a...
The rest of them, it's fine.
It is a bias hatred against the Jets because of that hit. It's like they played it up.
Remember, Ehlers was the first player there asking for help for Jake Evans.
Yeah, like I would take Nikolai Ehlers to the airport.
Yeah,
I would help him move. No, yeah. I wouldn't help him move. I would help. Help Phil Kessel move, but not Jake Ehlers. Sorry, man. Sorry, guys.
I would take Nikolai Ehlers to the airport and pick him up.
I have standards.
But.
Okay, Mark Shifley. You take him to the airport. I'll pick him up.
Jake,
okay,
perfect. Jay Ehlers is apparently a short brunette lady.
Just because I'm taking someone to the airport doesn't mean I want to date them.
Bullshit.
Yeah, they might take it the wrong way though.
Yeah, oh, that's true. I'm just a nice person.
That's what you get for being nice. That's what you get when you let your heart in.
I was actually talking about that with Robbie recently about how some dudes, you're just nice to them and they're either like, ew.
No,
and it's
like, that's a problem in food service.
The other thing is, sorry, I have a girlfriend.
No, you're good.
Like, hi, I just said hello.
Yeah.
Those guys are so, oh my God. I love those guys. Because it's like they think, they think that every lady.
Here's another one.
Every lady that says hello to them is like, oh, sorry. I actually have a girlfriend and she is not into girls.
I actually have a girlfriend. Oh,
like I am. Great. Anyway.
So that's weird.
Anyways, the Habs won against the Jets because fuck the Jets, as one does. Let's see. Goals by, fucking Lowry with the penalty shot. Are you fucking kidding me with that? And he goes with the ear. Oh, you guys hear it? Yeah, we'll ruin you because your teammate, Mark Shafley, is a fucking shitbag.
Yeah.
Fuck him. Fuck him. Justin Barron, another goal for the Habs, though, to tie it up.
He said, fuck the preseason.
Yeah, fuck the preseason.
Let me show you what the real season is.
Fuck this. Yeah, whatever. There's Justin Barron. Okay. But then Lowry again in the second period makes a 2-1 to Winnipeg, followed by Niederreiter, which makes a 3-1 Winnipeg. Oh, shit. We're dying. We are literally dying at the Bell Center, and that fucking sucks. However, towards the midway point of the second period, Sean Monahan. Who would have fucking thought? Who would have thought Sean Monahan scores another fucking goal?
Sean Monahan.
Imagine having a healthy Sean Monahan on your team. Wouldn't be me. Wouldn't be me. Wouldn't be the Flames.
What if we got Paul Rudd to come on?
Flames and the Oilers suck.
And that was a power play goal. The Habs power play has actually scored a goal in like the past... six
I think
games.
Monahan one was a power play goal.
Yeah, it was. It was. It certainly
five or six games in a row with a power play goal.
And then the newbie to the team this season, fucking Yoel Armia, the one-man Armia, ties it up in the third period, makes it 3-3, which forces OT, which in turn forces overtime. Suzuki with the lone goal in the shootout, which secures the Habs win. Fuck the Winnipeg Jets. Sorry, John Liu. I know it's your employment.
But we do miss John
Liu. We miss John Liu so much.
Yes.
Thank God he's so active on Instagram.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Right? Yes.
That man is, he is such a fun life.
Yeah. Jealous.
Imagine being John Liu for like a second.
Another short brunette I love. John Liu.
Yep.
Tiny brunette person. I adore him.
Technically correct. Yes, you're right. But and then.
Still taller than you.
The game.
Oh, true. He is taller than me. Yes.
Against Vegas. In Vegas. Habs at Vegas. I was there a weekend too early. This guy named P. Period Cotter. His real name is Paul. Okay. That makes sense. Paul Cotter. Gets a power play goal against the Habs in the first period. Makes it 1-0 going into the second period. In the second period, who would have thought? Sean Monahan. Shorthanded goal, mind you. Ties it up. However, all of that was for naught because Mr. W. Carrier makes it 2-1 Vegas in the second period.
But then!
From the fucking top rope.
Like Macho Man, oh yeah, Top Rope Savage. Nicholas Suzuki in his 300th game of the NHL makes it 2-2
against Vegas.
Against Vegas, the team. If you weren't listening to who are the broadcast people on Vegas? It was Brian Mudrick and our favorite guy.
Oh, yes. Oh no, Craig Button. Meant from Vegas.
Yeah, Craig Button.
Craig Button. Who reminded us that Suzuki was drafted by Vegas, came over in the Max Pacioretty trade avec Tomáš Tatar, who was a healthy Strax tonight, by the way. Nick Suzuki makes it 2-2, forces the overtime, forces the eventual shootout. Suzuki gets a goal. Marchessault gets a goal. Shea Theodore gets a goal, and then the fucking Vegas Golden Knights win another fucking game. My mother was third row from the glass next to the penalty box, and I have a picture of her circled on my phone of her being on the camera because they were that fucking close.
Nice. Holy snakey.
And she was like, hey, good thing Vegas won. Hey. I was like, fuck you, mother.
Yeah, share it with us.
Yeah.
Just us.
And those are all the games that happened the past week since we last recorded.
I would just like to say
what
that the narratives have taken. What is it? The turntables. Oh, how the turntables!
Oh, how the tables have turned.
Auston Matthews began the season with two back-to-back hat tricks and hasn't scored a goal since.
He used them all up. You got them out of the way early.
They peaked in October. They peaked in the first week of October, the Maple Leafs. They just had this horrible loss last night. But it's just like what the narratives are. Like, by the way, we were all told the Habs were going to suck this year. Weren't even going to make it. You know, playoffs were a pipe dream. Blah, 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 blah. Look at how they're doing despite all the injuries that weren't anticipated when those predictions were made. And I've got more. Go, David.
So, we haven't hit December yet. Ouch. If we know anything about the Habs, they have an incredibly poor December, especially when it comes to the West Coast road trip, if we recall. Mm-hmm. I don't think that has happened yet. But with that being said, and I think I mentioned it in the preamble to the episode tonight, that the Habs are doing better than bad. When I say that, I mean that
they're coming from behind to at least tie.
Oh, they really do, by the by. Yeah,
which they weren't doing for a long ass time. Yeah. Also, the West Coast road trip this year is at the end of this month. It's over the week of Thanksgiving.
The Habs currently...
American Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because we're currently in November now.
Yes.
9 games played. They are 5-2-2. So they're really scooching on like the halfway being of really good. However, if the playoffs were today, the Habs would be in the playoffs going up against the Bruins, which means that the Habs would win.
The Bruins have been...
Yeah.
Really fucking good this year, by the way, the Bruins. They have not lost a game yet. One overtime loss, not in regulation.
But no regulation.
But going back to the Habs.
Going back to the Habs, because this is a Habs podcast.
With not only did Cole Caulfield say specifically after that first period in that game that they ended up winning in OT after, oh God, which one was it now?
There's so Wednesday? Many overtime.
Not Columbus.
The Capitol was that? Yeah, they won against the Capitals in overtime.
They won against the Capitals on a Saturday. Anyway, it was a game that they ended up winning in overtime where they played such a terrible first period. And all of a sudden in the second period, they were gangbusters. And Cole Caulfield, as the first star of the game afterwards, he was being interviewed by Mac Denis on the ice. And he specifically said words from the coach. It was words from the coach in between periods. And then it was repeated again a couple of days later by Nick Suzuki, who said the same thing. Marty had some words for us.
Marty.
And I think that these guys grew up idolizing Marty St. Louis. And do they ever, like, he's got buy-in from this whole squad. And, like, the way that they've battled back from being down in, like, every game lately. And Vegas, they outshot Vegas by almost double.
That apparently, I remember listening to the Vegas broadcast for that particular game too. And Vegas were so differential to the Habs.
They're saying like shit.
The Habs are playing Vegas real hard. This is the worst game of Vegas' season, and they're saying
Vegas
that
Vegas looked terrible. Like,
if Aiden Hill wasn't in goal, it'd be the Habs 100%.
Right?
Like it. It was when I was watching the game, it was like, I felt like it was on fast forward. The Habs were on fast forward and Vegas was like, just standing there.
I was like, sir, they look like shit. Like, I don't know how many extended periods we had or extended shifts we had in the ozone. Like for a lot of, at one point I looked away and I looked back and I'm like, this is not a power play. Like it was dominant, the Habs. For much of that game.
Yes.
If not most or all.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Mark Stone got stoned.
Stoned.
And guess who else? Jack Eichel.
But not Marchessault. That son of a bitch.
That son of a bitch. Remember, we're bringing back son of a bitch.
Motherfucking Marchessault, man. He's the one fucking guy. He's the freaking guy that I wish I was that was a Hab. Aside from Phil Kessel.
Where was he before Vegas? Because even before he was a Knight.
Florida.
He was a Hab killer. Oh, yeah.
He was with the Panthers. And even then, Marchessault, man, undrafted fucking player. And man.
He said, I'm here to fuck shit up.
Yeah. Mother.
Fuck shit up,
fucker.
Yo.
Damn it. Motherfuckers. Fucking.
I have a complaint. It.
What?
Oh, my God. You're so fucking hostile.
Oh, yeah.
This
is Drunk Dave.
So I am an old man and I cannot stay up for the entire game. And
it ended late for you guys.
I fell asleep. I mean, I fell asleep before the third. And so I missed the third overtime in shootout. Used to be you go on the NHL website 24 hours after the game. You can watch the entire thing. You can't do that anymore. That's not an option.
It's a fucking pain in the ass.
The NHL took that away. The NHL is ruining hockey.
Yeah.
This is not just this. There's other things they're doing, but this is just like another thing to add to the laundry list.
Yeah.
Of
when I was a kid in Montreal. Yep.
To watch. I would like to watch the parts of the game that I missed because I have to go to fucking work in the morning and I needed to sleep. But I can't do that. I just have to watch the 5-minute recap that doesn't show everything. All the little nuances.
They've really changed the way they've made it, ironically, in this day and age, less accessible.
No, thanks.
Somebody have to have a credit card. You have to have, you know, this. You have to have, you know, before when I was a kid in Montreal, all the games were on TV on like regular, yeah, like CTV just or whatever.
Just put them on TV. Somebody, I don't remember who it was. I don't, I think it may be, maybe Travis Yost. Who is he with? Oh,
yuck. I hate, I don't, oh. I'm, he's not my cup of tea.
Okay. Oh yeah, he works at TSN. Okay. But he said that he was trying to watch Anaheim, Arizona. He's blacked out. He lives in neither Arizona or California. So like, why is he blacked out of this game if he doesn't live in the area in which tickets are sold / local broadcasting would be showing it? Like, what are you doing, NHL? Like, do you, Gary Bettman, do you have something that you're trying to get rid of that you're just like, if I get rid of the NHL, then I can get rid of this other problem, and then I can just go back to doing nefarious things in the sewers under Gotham City, like
the Penguin?
What are you, exactly? Thank you, Veronica.
Yeah,
she gets in.
Yeah, no, the NHL has me in handcuffs. I pay for a cable box because that's the only way that I can get Game Center, which is the only way I can get every single Habs game, no matter what. So yes. I'm never blacked out of a hockey game.
I just
and go I pay it. I plan for it. I budget for it every year, because otherwise, you know, and like, and not so long ago, if you just had RDS, they showed all of the games and they went and changed all the contracts. And it's just, it just makes it harder.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Which is why I encourage pirating every game.
Yeah.
I go sailing.
I just want to watch on my big, I've got a 65-inch TV.
Do you have,
I bought it for hockey.
Do you have Apple TV?
I do.
So if you have Apple TV and you pull up a pirate thing on your phone, you can cast it. You can just cast it to your app from your iPhone to your Apple TV. And then you can watch.
Yeah. Like, so I'm talking like super high def and all that, everything.
I'm just happy there's fucking hockey on my fucking television.
Yeah.
But I also, my TV is also probably 10 years old and it was my brother's. So,
yeah. Yeah.
There's stickers on it.
The only smart TV we have is in the living room. We've got a TV in the bedroom, but it's just a regular thing. It's bad to have TV in the bedroom.
I have to follow
relationships.
I don't have a relationship. Yeah. I just have Bob's Burgers.
Hockey.
Hockey. Oh, the other comment that I was going to make while we were talking about the Vegas Golden Knights is another thing that just absolutely appalled me when I wasn't even looking for any kind of Habs highlights after that Vegas game or anything, but I was scrolling through the channels and I landed on a Sportsnet where they were talking about the Vegas Montreal game. And I just came away from it thinking, what are you talking, like, talk about gaslighting. Nobody who watched that game, like they said, Vegas, but Vegas is a team that finds a way to win. And that's why they've had so much success this year. Perhaps they've had a lot of success this year, but you did not watch that game. And finding a way to win, acting like it was this huge triumph because they won in a shootout after being up by two goals.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right?
They lost a lead.
Jack Eichel couldn't make a single save. Montembeau was heroic.
Montembeau was incredible on his birthday.
If Jake Allen was in goal, we would have won that game.
I was so upset for Monty.
David.
Montembeau was very good in that game. Montembeau was very good in that game. I cannot deny it.
No, he was very good in that game.
He was incredible. Is that Carey Price?
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
All right. Pump the brakes.
No, I will not. I am speeding.
Is Montembeau Carey Price?
Down this
no.
For one game. For one game. I can give him his laurels, David Marie.
Not even on his Joseph. Birthday. I would not give that to him on his birthday. I'm so sorry.
You probably wouldn't even buy him a beer on his birthday.
No, I would not. I'd be like, hey, Montembeau. Here's a water.
We're not going to get any players on this podcast ever because guess what?
Because they're all Monty. Like that fucking David Ogier guy.
He's my bro.
We'll get people that have played for the Habs on the podcast, but not current players for sure.
Yeah.
One day.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Maybe.
I'll show them grandma boobs to convince them.
This episode is going to be called Grandma Boobs or Dave's Drunk.
It's funny. This
camera is doing funny.
It makes me look like Dolly Parton. It's hilarious.
You know,
That's not Dolly what Parton. I look like.
I may have mentioned this in the past, but
what? Oh no.
When I was in high school, my math teacher used to call improper fractions Dolly Partons.
Same. That's how we learned about improper fractions.
Because they were top heavy. Which means that the number above the line was bigger than the number below it. Yes. Hence an improper fraction.
Correct. Maybe it should be improper fraction, the title of the episode.
I'd be even more of a deep cut.
Yeah, right?
Improper fractions. Jesus, man. Mr. Malott would be so proud of me right now. I wonder if he's alive. Where's Mr. Malott?
I wonder about my teachers now, eh? I found out that my favorite teacher from grade 6 passed away.
Oh, no.
Long time ago, but I found out just kind of casually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're starting to die. Well, she was very ill.
I'm going to have to go to my, oh, my God. I'm going to have to go to my fucking yearbook and try to figure out how to spell Mr. Malott's name. All right. Anyway. That's a tale for another day.
The Habs are in Arizona, and again, I'm missing it. I should have planned my life better. I could have gone to visit my dad this week. We could have gone.
Oh, darn it. Right.
To see I missed it again.
Fucking but, God damn it.
I know. I'm the worst.
It's okay. It's not like they're playing in a rink that's meant for like 3,000 people.
Yeah.
Oof.
Oof.
See, like, I want to see like my dad and Dave at a hockey game at the same time.
No.
Because my
no.
dad at sporting no. events is freaking crazy.
You should split them up.
No.
We would get kicked out.
Do you know that episode of South Park where Randy gets into a fight at every softball game that his kid is in?
No.
No.
He's like, no. You want to fight? He takes off his shirt and starts fighting someone in the bleachers.
He's literally 70 years old.
Oh.
Don't fight my dad.
No. Do you know the concept of old man strength? Because he can throw down. Yeah. All he needs is one punch and he would fucking deck John Cena. Easy. Done.
Yeah, you just got to know where to hit.
Oh, that's it. Do it. 70 years of experience, you just gotta dial in where that knuckle's falling. You'll know what's going on. You'll know what's going on.
I watched David. Remember how we talked about one time that movie Blast from the Past?
Yes.
I was getting super nostalgic for it, so I bought it on Apple TV.
Oh, it's one of the best movies.
Oh, that is... Christopher Walken in that movie is such a delight.
He is
Spacek, who's one of my top 10 all-time favorites.
The one movie, the one scene where he comes out of nowhere and the wife is like, throws her drink. He's like Sharon or whoever the fuck her name is, and just fucking
he comes in the like the make-believe window in the bunker.
Yeah, the fucking
the fallout shelter.
Yeah, the fallout shelter. Yeah.
Sorry, Blast from the Past is a movie starring Brendan Fraser from 1998, 1999, something like that.
It's back in the
and,
day.
And Alicia Silverstone is in it. Oh. And the parents of Brendan Fraser are played by Sissy Spacek and Christopher Walken.
Who just incredible. Just an incredible cast.
I totally had completely forgotten that scene where he just comes out from the fallout shelter. He was born in there. He's never been in the world. He comes out and he goes on the sidewalk and there's a black mail carrier lady walking down the street and he goes, oh my lucky stars, Negro.
Yes. Yes.
She's like, excuse me. He's like, I'm so happy to meet because he'd never been in the world before. And his parents are still living in 1964 or whatever that was.
Yeah, whenever it was. Yep.
Oh, my goodness gracious. The reason I brought that up is because of how he kept on fighting Alicia Silverstone's ex-boyfriend at the bar. The ex-boyfriend kept on going to hit him and Brendan Fraser would just.
And he's like a boxer. He's like, what are you doing?
Dave, what kind of phone is that?
What are you talking about?
What did you just hold up?
What did you just... That's a wallet.
Oh, okay. I thought you had like a friggin' sidekick. I'm like, Dave, why do you have a burner phone?
What are you talking about? I don't have a burner phone. I didn't realize
that was your wallet. I thought you had like a sidekick and you had were like showing us your burner phone.
Everything that happens on my phone is on my phone, not a side phone. So, you know, just
no, I see that now.
Just to make it easier for the authorities, okay? Yeah. God damn it.
Anyway. You guys heard about when Christopher Walken was on SNL and he with the Foo Fighters as the musical guest?
No.
A cowbell?
No.
It's...
Well, I don't know if it was that. No, this is okay. So Christopher Walken was the SNL host. Foo Fighters were the musical guest. Christopher Walken goes up to the Foo Fighters, to Dave Grohl before the show. And he's like, hey, is the emphasis on Foo or Fighters? And Dave Grohl, knowing Christopher Walken, was like, oh yeah, the emphasis is on Fighters. And so there's clips. It's every single time he introduces the band. He's like, ladies and gentlemen, Foo Fighters.
The fighters.
It's so funny. And he does it every single time throughout the show that he has to introduce the band.
He has the skit on SNL with the Continental. He's like, no, don't leave.
Oh, what it was? Oh, yes.
He's like some fucking bougie dude in like the fucking presidential suite of a hotel, and some ladies in there. Yes. And the camera perspective is the lady, and he's like, "Don't leave! No, wait!"
Oh man.
Anyway, the Habs' next game is tomorrow night against the Arizona Coyotes, and they're doing good. We can do like a month recap of the Habs right now, and it's pretty decent. Kirby Doc's out. That's the whole. That's like the worst part of the season so far.
Yes.
Caden Gooley comes back, and he looks fine. Didn't lose a step. The only people that I have like something to say against would probably be Newhook, who didn't look that great in my opinion. Against Vegas.
I thought his shootout goal went in. I did see that.
I cheered.
Well,
It didn't. It didn't, but I thought it did.
Well, I'm just talking about word. So, just the game overall, I was like, he could be better. And Matheson, these are like two or three games now where he has been fighting the puck. Now,
there is something that else that he's fighting. I think.
Like an injury.
Yeah.
I would say rest him against fucking Arizona. Like fucking let somebody else play.
He lost the puck a lot.
Yeah, he came Vegas. Back for Vegas.
But
he probably needs a nap.
We have been spoiled so far in the month of October to seeing excellent Mike Matheson. Like the best of what he can do. What we've seen is like good Matheson, which is not great. Because you can see him. When he makes this mistake, I'm not going to say he overcompensates to try and get it going because he fucking knows he like fucked up and he tries to, get it back.
You can see it on his face.
Hence overcompensation, which in the end, can hurt people, can hurt the team overall. But like, if Matheson's hurt, that's a guy we want to actually rest for a game or two and then have him come back as opposed to, having the Habs medical team break his knees.
Yeah.
And then, he's back in like fucking 4 or 5 months or whatever. It's like David Safar.
Speaking of, our friend Dominique dressed up as an evil Habs doctor for
Halloween. I was wondering about that reference and I'm like,
Yes, she was. It was fucking great.
Was that our fault? It was very funny though, for sure.
That is very funny.
Faux show.
Yeah. Well, it is just like, when in these stories, people always say, like, they call 911 and they say, I think I saw what looks like a mannequin in the field.
A mannequin.
All of a sudden, there be a mannequin in the middle of a farm fucking field. It's never a mannequin. Just the same as with hockey. It's never that all of a sudden they're a terrible hockey player and they forgot how to play hockey.
They're
and they went from
injured.
Playing excellent hockey and being the smartest player on the ice to all of a sudden forgetting how to. That's never it either. There's something that's bothering him. He'll get over it. Matheson will be fine. I'm not worried about Mike Matheson at all.
Unless he's trying to pull Shea Weber and plant a broken foot. Because only Shea Weber can be Shea Weber.
Oh, let's see when the Habs are in the fucking wild card for the playoffs this year. What happens?
Wouldn't you know who's in the wild card right now while we're sitting in third?
The Leafs. Yep.
I forgot. And I haven't Tampa thought about Bay. Them in so long. It's been so nice to just not think about either of those teams.
Beautiful. Good times.
Well, Max pays attention because he particularly hates the Leafs as well. Yeah.
Particularly?
He particularly hates. He hates the Leafs and the Oilers because they're the teams that get all the treatment by the Canadian media. I can see that, And subsequently, you know, that's so the rest of Canada that hates those fan bases too. But yeah, he comes down to announce the Leafs are losing 3-0 in the third or in the second or whatever. And I'm just beautiful. Like, oh, sweet.
We love to see it.
And Filipino scored. Philip Dano scored.
Good. God damn it. Today? That was something Mr. Dangle mentioned in his most recent LFR video.
Yeah.
Where he mentioned that this was one of the worst Leafs games ever in the history of him doing videos. And he started doing videos in like fucking 2007 or 2008.
Oh, I see now. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
They had a pretty shitty game in game 7 against the Habs.
They had a pretty shitty series against the Habs, if I remember correctly. If you do not recall, it was 3-1.
3-1.
It was. Multiple times.
Multiple times. All right. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to be right back.
Okay.
Give me 1 second. Have fun. Enjoy.
We're going to talk about that.
I was going to say.
I knew he would make it. He had beer all night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, should we talk about other things that have been going on in the hockey world?
Okay. Like?
Well, do we want to talk about, I mean, there's two very terrible things.
Yes.
Adam Johnson in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which.
The Adam Johnson thing, I think, like, Max mentioned it the other day and I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I cannot believe you don't know about this. And I'm like, I don't look at Twitter anymore.
Yeah, it's like people are still like messaging me about it today. They're like, have you seen this? I'm like, yeah, I saw like the date happen. But like, it's people who aren't on Twitter.
No.
And like, it's just now hitting like Instagram and stuff. But like, it was the same night that Matthew Perry died. And I'm also always on Twitter. But like, people were tweeting about the incident. And everything that was going on, and I didn't realize that it was actually happening in England, like
me neither. Yeah.
And the league, they are strongly encouraging players to wear neck guards from now through the first of the year, and then after the first of the year it'll be a requirement in that league. The WHL, which is the Western Hockey League, which is in North America, they are requiring neck guards. I believe it was as of November 3rd of this month. They're requiring neck guards for all of their players. And then the Winnipeg Jets had players wearing, had some players voluntarily wearing neck guards at practice today. And then I think that there was also a tweet about Bettman and the
NHLPA?
Yeah, and that's what, thank you. The NHLPA talking about what they're going to decide, talking about potentially like mandating it for players as well. Which I mean, like I don't think it's like a bad idea at all. Like they're human beings. Like I care about hockey player. Like I don't know them. It's a parasocial relationship, but like I care about hockey player. Like they're people.
They're people.
And I want them to be safe and happy and whole and alive and healthy. And maybe it's not like the prettiest look or whatever, but like I'd rather be like not have a cute uniform on than be bleeding to death in front of thousands of people.
It's like they'll get used to it. It's like seatbelts. The cars didn't even come with seatbelts not long ago.
The Nets,
and then seatbelts became mandatory. They're not only if you get in an accident, you have to put them on, whether you get in an accident or not. It's like,
I mean, the Nets around hockey rinks came after that one girl died. Ariana Grande has been hit in the face. She David's face. So Ariana Grande was present for as a very young girl. I think she was like six. She was present for the opening Florida Panthers game, and she got hit in the face with a puck while she was there. She was like in the newspaper and everything. There's news articles about it. You can Google it. But like there was a girl, I forget what team it was. This was I think before Ariana Grande. But she was hit in the face with a puck at a game, and she ended up passing away from her injury. Actually, no, I take it back. It might have been after Ariana Grande, because that it led to the nets being put up around hockey arenas to catch flying pucks.
I think we had nets around arenas before Ariana Grande.
But before she was not, this is when Ariana Grande was very little. This wasn't like recently. This was when she was like six. Like she was a very young child. This was like over two decades ago kind of thing.
Is this like Taylor Swift level of fandom here or what?
No, this was like a hockey news thing. Like
she was in the crowd as an observer.
As a fan. And then she made the local paper because like to like basically like make up for her getting hit in the face at this opening game or whatever. They let her like ride the Zamboni around. She was it was in the news. And whatever at the time. And it was just like local girl, Ariana Grande, blah, 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 blah. And it has been posted by many like hockey people, like NHL History Girl has posted about it on Twitter.
I'm going to have to ask Dave Stubbs about this one.
I mean, send him a DM, do it. but like, it's very Googleable. Like this Googleable. Googleable. But yeah, like safety measures are put in place to prevent further accidents and further injury and further harm to people, not to like just be inconvenient. But people are being, of course, buttheads online. They're saying that people who elect to wear non-mandatory neck guards are soft. They're being really horrible to the young man who happened to be the one whose skate caught Adam Johnson's neck. They're being horrible to him. Race has been implicated in so many things with him. I don't know if it would be the same or better if he were not a black man and Adam Johnson were not a white man. But it has been just horrible for him, and I feel so bad for him.
You imagine how he feels?
Exactly. Like I would be beside myself. Like I would never probably want to come out of my house again. Like just because I would feel so guilty. Like
you're not out. Like people like, are actually thinking that he wanted to cut his throat. Like it was intense.
Yeah. Like
no.
And people are saying like
to murder somebody.
Yeah. And people are like,
it's not Zdeno Chara here. He's not hitting Max Pacioretty. All right.
Talking to somebody else about that. I was like, this is not Bond Cop Bad Cop 3. Like, this is not some weird, crazy setup to friggin' murder an opposing player during a game.
Oh.
It's an accident. It's a matter of physics, which is completely different when you're on a knife shoe on ice and you're going at like car speeds on your feet. Like, yeah. People are being ridiculous.
Yeah.
If he was white, this wouldn't be happening. Case closed.
Yeah. Like I say, just imagine how he feels.
Just scroll through Twitter. And you'll see every fringe right-wing lunatic saying that it was premeditated. Well, not premeditated. Doesn't matter. They're saying it's manslaughter. The guy did it on purpose. And they're, you know, they're grifting all their fucking, you know, cousin fucking shitbags that, you know, buy into this shit. And saying that it was, you know, it was intentional. Nope. Whatever. You know, they're just selling tweets, selling papers. It's selling tweets, literally, at this point. So they can make a living, you know, fucking, I don't know, jacking off in their mother's basement, whatever the fuck they do. Douchebags. It is reprehensible behavior.
Yeah.
And just such a nightmare for the family, the parents, and you know, such a freak accident. But you know, turns out like they've got like Pierre Lebrun yesterday was talking about the neck thing that they have for the thing that they put under their socks so that they can't get cut. The same thing can be worn around the neck.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you fucking want to do that?
Yeah.
Tomasz Plekanec was ahead of his time.
Yeah. He was. Happy retirement, Plecky.
Happy retirement, Plecky.
Pioneer.
And happy birthday, Plecky, plus one.
And happy birthday.
I didn't realize he was born on fucking Halloween. Excuse me?
What an incredible birthday to have.
Way better than being born on Christmas, like
100%. No facts. Absolutely. I'd much rather be born on Halloween.
Oh my God. Like, oh my God. Plecky fucking. Love it. Yeah. Love that for him. It's happy retirement to Plekanec.
Plekanec.
Sexy, safe turtleneck.
You son of a fucking Czech fucking amazing person playing for. And Jager's still playing. That son of a bitch.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Could you imagine being Jager?
He doesn't want to do anything else.
Yeah. Guy's just
Weber would still be playing.
Yeah, honestly. So, according to a October 10, 1998 Sun Centennial story, Grande had been struck by pucks twice by the age of 5 at NHL games. She was also the first person to be hit by a puck in the Panthers' new arena. Bank Atlantic Center.
It's weird.
There it is.
I told you.
It's like people who get hit by lightning twice.
Yeah, it must be nice being a rich person because that's what she is.
Now?
No. Her family was well endowed for her.
She was on like Nickelodeon and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. She's like a Timberlake. She's like a Gosling. She's like a Spears, you know.
Yeah.
Parents had the inside track.
Now, so we talk about the Senators.
Yes, let's talk about the Senators. Oh my God. It's my favorite conversation to have. I went to a dinner of Vec, one of my hockey people tonight, because it was his birthday, and we got fucking hammered. And does that mean I am hammered? It just means I had a few drinks. Yeah. Now, with that being said, one of my best friends in the world, Christopher Hilgenberg. Whom you do not have to look up, is a Sens fan. I said, hey.
Oh no.
Hey, Christopher. How are the Sens doing? Chris. He's like, you know what? Fuck
you. Does he want
to
be a Habs fan yet?
No, but
does he want to come over yet?
It is crazy how the Sens send themselves every season on and off the ice, no matter what's happening.
Do you know something that I was reminded of today?
What?
That I forgot about? Vladimir Tarasenko elected to sign with them this season. Where the fuck has he been?
Oh.
I have not heard a peep about him.
Well, Tarasenko also got into a fight with a coach of his like 6 years ago. You remember that altercation?
No, I don't remember.
He had to like leave a practice because he got into like almost fisticuffs with a coach when he was with the St. Louis Blues. I remember that like barely in the back of my, like back when Michel Therrien was the coach of the Habs, that happened to the Blues and we were like, what the fuck's going on with the Blues?
No, I was talking to a friend today about all this stuff going on with the Senators and he was like, when did Vladimir Tarasenko become a Senator? And I was like, oh yeah, he elected to sign with him over the summer. I totally forgot. Haven't heard anything about him since. I don't know what he's been doing. What his production's been.
Insane. And then we have people saying that, oh yeah, the amateur scouting for the Senators is so amazing. Fuck off. Really? Where the fuck are the Senators right now aside from rock bottom? Organization-wise, standings-wise, apparently this was supposed to be the Senators' year. Shane fucking Pinto, 41 games for sports gambling on mercurial charges that we don't know about because we do have to be real here. Fucking the Vegas Golden Knights cry foul about the Evgeny Dadonov trade, and that's like another fucking crazy thing that happened with the Senators. So Evgeny Dadonov, apparently the Sens did not submit, and I have to be corrected about this because I don't know all the details. Apparently Evgeny Dadonov traded. Sens did not submit his 10-team no trade.
Disclose.
Right. And because of that, they lose a first round pick in the next three in their choosing one of the next 3 years.
Yeah.
Now, that's crazy because
the subsequent trade that he got traded to Arizona.
So,
that was
okay.
no
So the Senators traded Dadonov to Vegas. During that trade, the Senators did not disclose to Vegas, hey, we want to trade you this player. He has this no trade list. They didn't say that. Vegas also did not fucking ask, but that's apparently neither here nor there. Vegas didn't look into, didn't check with Dadonov, didn't check his contract, didn't check anything, didn't check to see whether or not he had a no trade clause, assumed he didn't have one because this Ottawa didn't say anything, which apparently they are required to do. And so Vegas then tried to change him to the Ducks, and the Ducks were on Dadonov's no trade list, which Vegas was not aware of. The thing, I don't know all the rules for making a hockey trade. I'm not a hockey GM. But it would be like if that's required, if it's a requirement to disclose these things, that should be a known rule. But also if you're trading a player and you should have somebody looking into their contract when you acquire them. So that way, you know what the fuck is up. Like, I just feel like that is common sense.
I see what you mean.
But
are we talking about our Dadonov? Ours?
Yeah.
Our.
After the Habs or before the Habs?
Before.
Yeah, okay.
Well, this is fallout from 2021 and 22.
Okay.
Further to all of that legal stuff, the new owner of the Senators was part of a press conference today and said he didn't know about any of this, that he didn't know that he was getting into any of this.
And he was shit-canned.
No, that was Pierre Dorion.
Excuse me. So in light of all everything that has happened, Pierre Dorion is now no longer the GM of the Senators, and now it is Chiarelli.
No, there's a new interim guy.
An interim guy.
It's some other random dude. Everybody keeps saying Chiarelli. Somebody already changed the Wikipedia page at some point today to say Peter Chiarelli. It's not officially Chiarelli. It's an interim dude. I think both of his initials are S. It's like SS, whatever.
Sergei Zavar.
But the new owner was part of his press conference. Was like, I had no idea about any of this. So I'm like, why didn't you have a lawyer look into all of the potential, or any pending legal action or whatever going on with this sports team that you're attempting to buy, before you buy it, my dude? This is just bad investments all around.
It's like buying a house without getting an inspection.
Yeah. I have zero legal experience other than the mock fucking Shakespeare jury I was on in college.
I was a witness one time in a trial.
I also did jury duty one time for real life. So I have two, a real jury and a mock jury that I've been on. And none of this is business law at fucking all. It's all been criminal related. This is all stuff that I would think maybe I should look into this before I commit to this other thing as a smart investment move. But I'm just a random brown woman.
That's so cute.
Official legal education. What do I know?
Yeah, the dumpster fire that seems to be perpetual over in Sens Land continues to burn bright. And has no way of abating at this point. Oh my god. I thought that the whole Sens off the ice drama would have ended this season. No. Not at all.
There's something bad over there, just like the Jets. There's bad.
But it's not even the player's fault, aside from Shane Pinto for betting on a fucking, cockfight or whatever the hell he bet on, because we'll never find out. Pinto. Yeah, Pinto.
Yeah.
They showed his picture and his name when you all heard me escort on Saturday.
No. Did they?
On Hockey Night in Canada, they put up Armia's photo and it said Shane Pinto, and it even had a fucking Senators.
You said that they showed his stuff when Armia scored. No, they were talking about Shane Pinto and they showed Armia's face.
Armia's headshot.
But it wasn't even Armia.
I didn't notice it in the game.
It was Armia as a Jet headshot. I think I still have the screenshot in my phone. But yeah, it was bad. It was fucking bad.
Armia and the Jets.
it was bad.
That's fucking wild, man.
So the thing is, it's not where players are players are allowed to do sports betting, but they have rules, which they went over on Hockey Night in Canada. It was very
41 games. There's shit we have no idea about. 41 games. I plead guilty. No contest. I'll take it. 41 games. Thank you very much. Like, there's something that happened there.
And like, well, yeah, Mark Scheifele murdered Jake Evans, and he got like
on his birthday
4 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And fucking Jets people that defend that, no.
He got 5 games. That's why he was still suspended when the regular season began.
5 games for nearly ending someone's career. Then it's like, oh no, you can't bet on things. That's 41 years. What a fucking shitbag league. Well, I swear to Christ.
And in spite of that, it has to be something not unforgivable, because the whole team and the coach and everybody has said, we stand behind him. We believe in him. We're all, you know, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, we'll just, you know, find a way to play without him. But they've been very supportive, like not like no comment or anything. So.
Well, isn't that nice?
It's weird.
Nice having friends.
Almost sounds like giving him 41 games was a favor, honestly, the way it all shook out. We'll see.
Someday there will be a tell-all.
I'm not alleging anything. I'm just saying there's something else.
Well, it's nice that the Habs have had to deal with that. Too bad they can't
tell us.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Like, if Cole Caulfield, God forbid, like, if he got caught gambling on NHL games, I would drive to his house and yell at him myself.
Yeah. I think you would.
I believe. I would get in my Toyota Corolla and drive 12 hours to Montreal to Cole Caulfield's house, his apartment.
I believe
him. And I would
make sure to gas up in Plattsburgh.
His penthouse. I usually he's probably got a penthouse in Montreal.
Probably. I usually stop like in Wilkes-Barre. Scranton.
The younger players like it over there. Gallagher's lived there since he got here. Since he got to Montreal. Old Montreal. His
football helmets.
Old Port.
And then on the way home, I'll go to the grocery store and wait for Paul Byron.
Jeez. Oh, I just wanted to mention something quickly, Beth, because you mentioned in passing about the Wikipedia being updated.
Yes.
To put Peter Chiarelli on the Wikipedia. Elon fucking Musk, one of the most evil people on the planet, is now trying to fuck with Wikipedia, which is the only good thing left on the internet. Wikipedia is run by good, honest people who fact check and to great pains to make sure that they have facts correct and backed up and cite sources and links and everything else. It's a hell of a lot of work. And I make it a point, like every few months or so, to send them $10. If you guys can send them $2, $3, like, we use them a lot.
It's like a crowdfunded.
Yeah. Thing. And it's a community, yes, of trust. And
it's like,
don't let him fuck terrible that up too. I sent them $15 the other day, and now I'm going to make it every month.
That just pretty much covered the entire happy hour. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
Thank you, Veronica, for contributing to Wikipedia on happy hour's behalf.
We use Wikipedia often, yeah, both for and unrelated happy hour reasons.
Yeah.
I am don't a let very him active
fuck with Wikipedia.
I'm a very active reader of the Death Row Last Meals page. Fun fact about me. No, it's fascinating to know what people eat before they were executed.
What their last meals were?
Death Row Last Meals, yeah.
What's your last meal?
It's a Wikipedia page called Death Row Last Meals.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I'm on there all the time.
Yeah.
It's great. It's fascinating what people choose.
Oh my God. We were listening to the radio the other day. We had it on Yacht Rock. I love Yacht Rock. Okay. Just quickly. Okay. So, Africa came on, our favorite song from Toto. And so we were trying to figure out what year it was from. So I immediately went to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Or not to Wikipedia, but I Googled it. Africa has its own Wikipedia page.
Oh, it certainly does. Because of reasons.
And I always thought, you know, until just a few days ago, my entire life, I always thought, there's nothing that 100 men on Mars would ever do.
No.
my whole life. And I was like, 100 men on Mars?
I mean, if they're on Mars, they're not doing much.
Yeah. 100 men on Mars, whatever I do.
No. Oh, no.
No, it's or more.
It's or more. I can't believe. Come on, out there, listeners. Back me up. It's like,
I think you're the only one.
Fire okay. engine guy. I'm going to have to talk about the last Wikipedia article I read about.
Okay.
And it's not at all fun, frankly.
I'm scared.
No, it's actually not. It is the complete opposite of fun. Uh-oh. And this is only because late night, last night, I was scrolling through Instagram reels. And one of the reels, whose name I cannot recall at the moment, is about a guy that's living in America, though he is German, and he has a roommate. And the reel is the guy, this one dude, plays himself, English speaker, and plays also the German person, German speaker. So he does both, right? Because he's, you know,
acting.
Bilingual, white, acting, right?
Like, and like he's, a split screen?
And they're, well, sort of, kind of, yes, so, something like that.
Okay.
And they're telling Halloween stories. And the American guy's like, oh, and then the sound came from the basement. And then the Austrian guy's like, oh my God, that's so scary. Let me tell you an Austrian story now, right? And the Austrian story is about Josef Fritzl from Austria. Josef Fritzl is a real person.
Is that the guy with the, like, the family in the basement and his daughter? There's a documentary on him.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I read the entire Wikipedia article on Josef Fritzl, whom...
Please share that with me immediately.
Oh, I will. Oh, I will. Josef Fritzl,
horrible.
What he did, and I don't even think I can summarize it because we're actually at our time right now. And this will be
children,
my...
The children.
Oh, yeah. So what he did was that he imprisoned his daughter for like 20 years in a bunker.
Yeah.
Which included bad things. Sexually bad things, which resulted in numerous children, one of which died, half of them raised by Fritzl and his wife, whom had no idea this was going on, the other half raised by the daughter in the basement. It was not until one of these daughters collapsed from kidney failure due to health issues that they brought her to a hospital, and the police, and this is kind of recent, we're talking about like 2006, 2007.
No. Yeah.
And the police were like, how do you keep finding these random children in the woods and raising them?
Red flag.
And then all, well, Austria apparently has a law that says if you have a crime that's more than 15 years old, it gets expunged from your record. 20 years in imprisonment with your daughter. What?
Even if you've been convicted? Can you guys hear me today?
Not convicted. No, he wasn't convicted of anything. He was just...
Okay.
If it's a statute of limitations, if it's been this long...
Ooh, it's fucking wild. It's crazy. Wild.
The charge goes away.
Either way, good news. After 24 years of imprisonment, eventually the father gets caught. And these children, the daughter and all the children, get to, like, experience life outside of this basement after 2 decades. Yeah. And the basement, the height for it was 5'8". Five feet, 8 inches.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And the, oh, it is horrifying.
It's awful.
So that's what I was reading on Wikipedia last night.
Dang. Oh, send them money. $2. $3.
The Fritzl case. They send you a
nice little email in reply.
I'm going to read just the first few lines. The Fritzl case emerged in 2008 when a woman named Elizabeth Fritzl, born April 6th, 1966, told police in the town of Amstetten, Lower Austria, that she had been held captive for 24 years by her father, Josef Fritzl, born April 9, 1935. Fritzl had assaulted, sexually abused, and, trigger warning, raped his daughter repeatedly during his imprisonment inside a concealed area in the cellar of the family home. He is alive.
Oh my
God. In prison for life at the moment.
Good. Yeah.
It's a crazy, crazy story. Yeah.
And there's a documentary, I think it's on Netflix, about him.
I'm going to read the next few lines because it's just so fucking crazy.
Okay.
The abuse resulted in the birth of 7 children. 3 of them remained in the captivity with their mother. 1 died shortly after birth and cremated by Fritzl. And the other 3 were brought up by Fritzl and his wife, Rosemary, having been reported as foundlings. Kids they find in the wild. Anyway, that's it. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
Bye.
So what else is everyone else watching?
I haven't been watching anything that I haven't talked about before, but I do want to put in, they're probably not going to listen to this episode because we swore so much, but Black Girl Hockey Club has a new website, revamped website that has launched, so definitely check them out. They are always fundraising for their scholarship. They are currently at $8,000 out of a goal of $15,000. In order to create spaces for Black women and girls to play hockey. So please donate to them. And then if you are able, if you're going to be in the LA area, November 11th, that's going to be their first meet. They have meetups throughout the throughout North America during hockey season. And their first one is November 11th. It's going to be at the U.S. versus Canada game, rivalry series on November 11th in L.A. And they have a discounted tickets for on their website as well if you want to go. And yeah, but yeah, Black Girl Hockey Club is amazing. They do really good work for helping people who might not get the chance or opportunity to be interested or play hockey. They give them those opportunities, and they are very open about where their money goes. And all that fun stuff. And they're really good at like highlighting, different, Black girls and women who are playing hockey in various spaces. And it's really cool. And Renee Hess is a really incredible, awesome woman, and she's the founder, and, she is just really great, and you should support her and check out their new website.
Fuck yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I've been watching a lot of hockey. I watched, I'm rewatching actually a really, really, really good show. The Good Girls, or just Good Girls, on Netflix. It stars Christina Hendricks.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Retta. Ooh. And Mae Whitman. Mae Whitman is by far, like, I'm looking for other stuff that she's done just because I like her so much. I saw her as she was the daughter of Lauren Graham in Parenthood, in that whole series. She was also played, when she was a little girl, she played the daughter of Sandra Bullock in Hope Floats with Harry Connick Jr. But she is fucking funny as fuck. And this show is really well written. And it's unfortunately, I mean, the show was canceled, so it never ends. So it kind of sucks, but it's so good that I'm watching it again anyway. And the other thing that I like about it is very, very, very good music. Like, all of these girls are sort of, you know, my
contemporaries.
And so, you know, they, when playing music, like from when they were in high school, like some like, just like deep cuts, like some tracks that you haven't heard, and they'll play like, you know, they'll go from yacht rock to fucking bluegrass to fucking, anyway, the music is really good. I enjoy it. It's very funny. It's very well written. That's what I'm watching. Netflix.
That sounds awesome.
Fuck yeah. Really good. I'm watching Lessons in Chemistry on Apple Plus, produced and starring Brie Larson as a chemist trying to navigate her way through 1960s misogynist institutions regarding male-dominated roles in chemistry. It is an incredible show. I fucking love it. And I cannot wait for each episode to be released every week.
Hell, it's called, yeah, Drop.
Fucking right.
Lessons Drop. In Chemistry.
Yep. It's It's on my list.
Also on my list.
Cool.
I forgot about a thing that is very interesting.
What?
And has related. I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this first name properly. I forgot to look it up. I know I'm breaking my own rule.
Parento.
Excuse me?
P.A. Parento.
Go ahead.
Atos Koivu, Saku Koivu's son, is ripping up the Finnish under 20 league with 7 points in 4 games.
Yes!
He is 17 years old.
Yes!
He was called up from the under 18 league after putting up 15 points in 15 games.
Yes!
And was just selected for the under 18 national team. He is eligible for the NHL draft in 2024.
Yes!
It comes from our frenemy, Andrew Zadernowski.
Yes.
He has to become a Hab.
It is possible. It is within the realm of possibility that we could get Saku Koivu's hotshot child.
Oh,
we don't know where he's suspected to fall.
And he will wear number 11.
But he will fight Brendan Gallagher to the death.
Brendan Gallagher will be traded to the Minnesota Wild, and he will fight him.
Somebody write that down.
Yeah, somebody, mark yeah, somebody calendar. Put that. All right. And the that's
Texas
it. Okay,
Rangers
we gotta go.
Won the World Series. Okay, bye. Bye.
I am so hammered. I don't know how I'm going to do this tonight. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye. So long. Bye.